real business owners.
What's up, everybody? Hope you guys are having an awesome day. Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast, episode 42. And yes, it is episode 42 this time. Kel can't correct me. Three strikes, I'm out, bro. You know.
It don't matter.
Hey, thanks for having my back, though. I had to correct you yesterday on the text, though.
Which one?
When we put picked and I've had to put punched.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm serious, bro. I need to just get a new phone because I don't know how to go in the settings and, like, wipe out all the stupid autocorrect memorizing that it's done. But
some of your texts are confusing.
Bro. Some of my emails, everything have actually been embarrassing when I go back and read
them.
You're
like, good God. You know? All this auto text that's supposed to make us look smarter actually makes us look dumber.
It does, dude. I'd rather just show the one word letter wrong than switch the whole freaking word to something that doesn't make sense.
Speaking of looking dumb, I was gonna say, okay, my bad, Coulter. I shouldn't have done that.
We have a great guest.
No. Hear me out. Speaking of dumb, having bad credit is dumb.
Yeah.
So that's why we brought on an amazing guest. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys thought I was gonna throw a homie under the bus. Ain't happening.
Yeah.
Not today. Okay.
You are right, though.
Yeah. We have Coulter Egan with us. Coulter Egan, he is one of our business partners on the credit repair company that we have, okay? Mm-hmm. So, guys, if you didn't know, we do own a company called 60 Day Credit Repair. Yep. Coulter is the individual that's in charge of that company. He's the one running that company, and he's a partner with inside of that company. And so, one, you know, we wanted to bring him on to discuss credit just in general. I personally know how important credit is. I've had bad credit. Now I have 813 credit score, right?
Dude, I remember talking about it months ago, dude. Like, we're like, dude, we need to do an episode on credit repair because it affects so many people.
And I know.
We know some things that...
Yeah. That could help
could
other
really
people.
Help. Yeah. And honestly, people need to take accountability and be responsible because it closes so many doors if you don't have it. And I know that from experience, so I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah. So, Coulter, welcome, bro.
Howdy.
Say howdy. Hi, dude.
Yeah. He's all standing. Look at how far back he is. He's getting nervous with the mic. Howdy. I've never heard you say howdy ever.
Yes, he is from Utah.
Yeah. So, I'm surprised we're all wearing black today. So, it's a perfect day to record this episode.
Absolutely.
So, Coulter actually worked with us for us for many, many, many years 10 years, 11 years, something like that.
Yeah. We're just talking today. It'll be 11 years at the end of this month.
Yeah. Pull it closer, bro.
Trevor's his dad.
I was just going to talk about that. Okay. So
Trevor, I wanted to fire him.
Yeah.
Years ago when
everybody
he was new.
Did.
I was
a lot
like,
of
who's
people
that
did.
Skater
everybody
kid
did.
That looks 12 out there? You need to fire him.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody did.
Yeah. I had to battle many people over that situation. Dude. But again, he was young and, you know, skater dude coming in, trying to be in sales and all that. And, you know, I mean, I took him under my wing just like a good person should, right? I saw, you know, basically like a baby bird with the feathers that just haven't fully grown in yet. Mm-hmm. I knew he was there. He, you know, I could teach him how to fly.
Yeah. hey, we all have those, dude, where we're like, dude, you know, we see something in them other people don't.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
take it on, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've got some of those. You now have some of those, Coulter.
Yeah, Coulter does too now, you know, now that he's in a leadership role and he's taking on the, you know, situation that we've been in, right? In operating companies and doing all that fun stuff. But it went through an evolution period with him. He loved me for a period of time, just like your young kids do, right? You know, until they hit their teenage years.
Yeah.
Teenage years, they know it all.
Yeah.
So we went through this evolution. We had some battles, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, we've had battles, you know, where we would go a couple days without talking to each other because I was really... Yeah, a couple weeks. Okay, you want to tell it how it is? Go for it. Man, damn. Okay. I remember a few days, okay? But again, time flies. Yeah. But one, when you get very, very comfortable with an individual, and me and Coulter got more and more comfortable with each other, and I'll be honest, I was very hard on him for many years because... He was my right-hand guy. He was the person that trained underneath me, so to speak, right? And so when you expect a lot out of somebody, sometimes you're a little bit harder on the individuals that you expect a lot
like
from.
Coaches that coach their kids' team, like they're always harder on their kid.
Yeah, because you want your kid to win. You know, like I don't care if we win the game, but I want my kid to score the most. You know, like hit the dingers and shit. You know, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, so, I keep starting you, kid. Quit making me look bad.
But your kids take it as at a different angle, though. Yeah. They look at you. You're being a little overly harsh, and I was harsh for a few years there.
Hey, we're all learning and growing. We're all doing this together. You know?
No, I mean, so I've openly admitted that I had management problems when I first learned trying to figure out how to manage. You know, in terms of barking orders and being harsh on people. Coulter survived that, right? Yeah, so barely. And I don't know if anybody else really did. I think Dave did, you know. Yeah. Couple survivors. You know, we have two or three, four survivors at total, right? It was pretty devastating. I was a nuclear bomb for a minute. But the only reason why I'm telling people this is because if you are training somebody right now and they look up to you or whatever – and they love you. You know, I did go to battle with, you know, JD and with other people in terms of, hey, you know, maybe we need to let him go. Maybe he's not working out. I'm like, I can hear him on his calls. He's good. Yeah. Like, we just got to give it a sec, right? Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like, I've got an ear for this shit. Like, let me do my thing. Let me run my team, right? Yeah. And so I went to battle with him, and I'm sure you saw me go to battle for you a few times. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, it starts out, we'd go skate together because you loved to skateboard. And I was hit like, dude, riff. We raft the river together and drink a 30 pack.
It was more of a friendship for sure. We were co-workers because it was before you had ownership in anything. So it was more of a friendship. And then it kind of evolved, you know, with other companies starting and more responsibility.
It starts getting serious, basically. Right? Yeah, like more money's involved, bigger businesses involved.
We started turning into real shit. We had to change relationships a little bit. I've had to do that.
Like, that's
times.
Just the reality of it. But then we went through a phase where there was more contention than it was, I guess, anything productive, right? In terms of our communication for a little bit there. Because he got to the point where he got good at what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So when somebody gets good at what they're doing, what do? They think they've got it figured out, a teenager, right? But now he's one of the partners, right? So again, it goes through this love, and then you go through this rough phase a little bit trying to figure each other out. He's trying to step into his role of continuing to level up in terms of a sales rep and, you know, eventually managing and running a company, you know, and all
just
that.
Just like we always say, outwork your fucking paycheck, dude. Part of that's being consistent, showing up every day, being reliable, and then working your ass off.
Working through the tough times, right?
You know, you end up with profit shares or whatever it ends up being. But, you know, like this company that we've been building is really awesome.
Yeah.
We've always done this little credit repair piece of our products, but we've never really fully...
Doubled down on just the
credit repair process. But man, we've seen it change so many lives, and Coulter's obviously a huge part of that. And so that's why we wanted to have him come on.
Yeah.
And really, we want to educate our listeners on how important it is to take responsibility and how many doors it can open by having great credit, how many doors it can close by having horrible credit.
Let's be honest here. I mean, how many businesses have reached out to us over the years seeking funding and needing loans and money? Excuse me.
I had a guy call me today. I can't get a merchant account. Can you help me?
That's my point. Is here's the big issue with credit.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit until they need it.
Yeah.
Right. And then right when they need it, they're like, I need, but I need $100,000 for my business. I need $50,000 for my. Well, okay. Like, now you have to go through a process of repairing what you screwed up, right? And the traditional credit repair companies that exist, it's long, it's drawn out, it takes 12 months, 24 months, it's $100 to $150 a month.
It's designed to suck monthly out of you for as long as possible.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, let's be real. If it's $100 or $150 a month and they fixed your credit in 2 or 3 months, why the hell would you continue to pay them?
Right.
So it's like, let's give them enough.
Yeah.
to keep, like, almost dangling the carrot for as long as they can.
Stay enrolled, keep paying.
Exactly.
Give us 30 more days. Give us three more months.
Like, we're almost there.
Come on, man. We've almost cracked 90.
Hang in.
You'll be in the 600s soon.
Yeah, yeah. So
you can't buy anything in the 600s. You get, like, 650.
Yeah,
really, before you can really start getting
in terms of getting approved. Yeah. You can get a home loan, I think, at what, 620? Somewhere around that. What is your dad does?
600.
600 or greater. That doesn't mean you're going to get any good rates.
What people don't understand is a house is looked at completely different than anything else. It's you as a human being, you have to have a roof over your head, right? You don't need a Beamer.
Yeah.
You don't need credit cards. You can take the bus to work if you have to.
Yeah.
So a home is something you have to have, and they also are having that home as collateral.
Yeah.
So the scores are
you don't have to be as lower, high.
Yes.
So a car is a little bit different because somebody can drive away with a car and hide a car. You can't hide a house, right? Exactly. You're not going to put a house on the back of a truck and drive away and a bank ain't going to find it, right? Yeah. And so they're a little bit more flexible about giving home loans at a lower score. Yeah. You're just going to pay out the ass in terms of the interest rate, right? Like, what was the difference in a half a point or 1 point? What did we...
On a $200,000 house, 1 point interest is $150 a month. I'm actually looking at refinancing my house right now. A half a point on my house is $200 a month.
Yeah.
A half a point.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like people don't understand. They're not invest. Again, everybody looks at shit as an expense. The problem is it's a necessity, okay? Because I've seen a lot of people be put in bad situations right when they needed credit, it wasn't available to them, okay? Entrepreneurs especially, right? Like leveraging that credit card, using it as a flotation device to buy you that 30-day window to purchase something. Or let's say you're on net 30 in terms of you getting paid from a vendor, but maybe you've got to pay something and you put it on a card and then your pay gets there in 30 days and you pay the card off.
Yeah.
Having access to credit is never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing, okay? Not having access to credit isn't always a bad thing, but it can be detrimental in the cases when you need it and you don't have it,
right?
So people only plan when it's necessary rather than planning ahead. And I think that's what I want to talk about today is really forecasting. Like, let's be real. If you're honest with yourself and you're listening right now and you have bad credit, it's affected you negatively, right? We did research on this shit, and people, even their blood pressure is at a higher rate having bad credit because there's a monkey on their back. There's this thought or this extra stress that they're bearing knowing that they have bad credit. When is my wage going to be garnished for that collections or that judgment? Right. My phone's ringing because I have collections and I'm dodging phone calls.
Yeah.
There's always people like, who is this? You know, like, okay, if they say that, they probably have a 500 credit score. Just know that. You know what I mean? Like, they're just trying to verify if you're a debt collector or not.
I mean, the decisions you make in your life affect you for years and years, dude. And sometimes they show up, you know, years later. You know what I mean? So the decisions you make today, this is going to affect you years from now. Like, you just really need to, like, take action now if you do have bad credit. Because it's going to affect you for years, right? Like, the sooner you take action on it, the sooner you can actually start changing your life for the better. Just like that guy that called me about the merchant account thing, dude. Like, he is paying another guy over 20%
because he has
to process
credit
on his merchant account. Because that's high risk, man.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. I think there's actually laws. You shouldn't process other people's merchant accounts. But he's doing it to operate his business.
Yeah.
It's costing him a shit ton and potentially, you know, some criminal shit one day.
Well, the fact is, bad credit costs you money daily, whether you believe that or not.
100%.
And the insurance guy that we spoke to recently flat out said, he's like, dude, insurance rates go way up having bad credit, almost worse than a DUI.
No, he said that he had a case where somebody had a DUI and had a lower monthly payment than somebody with a clean driving record.
With a clean driving record, but bad credit.
Yeah.
So it costs you money even in your car insurance, your home
insurance. Utilities, man.
All of these things. Like,
when they check your credit at utilities, if you have bad credit, they make you put all this money up front and then they charge you more.
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's all this shit.
In our city, at least.
So what I wanted to do on this episode is try to give some nuggets. Like, look, if I don't care if they come to us or not. Look, we're available. Obviously, we would love to earn your business. We had everything that we, you know, in this case, it comes back with a full money back guarantee.
Right.
So, like, you know, we put our money where our mouth is. We're very confident in our process and what we're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. So that's all fine and dandy. Let's just throw that out there right now. But I want to give you guys maybe some tips or hints on some things that you could do now, even yourself, to start empowering. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's not so bad where you need credit repair. Maybe it is a debt-to-credit ratio issue where their utilization is high. Let's talk about some of the things that ultimately, what are the five things that a credit score is built around, so to speak, in terms of how the score is calculated. Let's go over that, and then we'll go over some actual figures of utilization and some things like that so that we can kind of drop some nuggets on them and you know, just try to bring value today.
The two biggest factors are going to be payment history, which actually makes up 35% of
the entire score.
So actually making your payments on time, right? Yep. So if you're missing payments, 35%.
You're working backwards.
That's the biggest chunk. That's the most important.
Yeah.
Second chunk is going to be 30%, which is just actually your utilization when it comes to revolving accounts. So credit cards, right?
Yeah.
So if you're over 40%, it's going to make those scores dramatically drop down. And we're not actually talking about 40% over all of your accounts. We're talking about individual
credit card.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because when some people pull their credit, it does say overall utilization.
Correct.
And then they're like, what are you talking about? My utilization is
at
10%. But all their debts on one card with a $10,000 limit, and they have a $9,000 balance. So you're at a 90% utilization on that card, which is dragging your score. Now, let's say you had four credit cards with $10,000 limits, and you distributed that $9,000 across evenly across those four cards. Okay, now you're at roughly $2,800 or whatever it is, right? Or twenty, or it's less than that. It's $2,300 or $2,200 per card. Now your utilization is at 23%.
Right.
Okay.
So if you don't have the cash to pay it down, if you're trying to go out there and get a loan on something, your scores are down.
Yep.
If you don't have the cash to go out there and pay it down,
but you have another card,
spread out your risk.
If you have another card, or if you don't have another card and your score is good enough to maybe get approved for another card, the idea is to spread the debt so that your utilization is lower and your scores go up.
Right.
And it helps you get prime rates, shit like that, right? Prime rates mean you know, you're paying way less over time. Right. So those are two right there. What are the other ones?
Inquiries is only going to be about 10% of your score. So I think a lot of people think that inquiries make up a lot more.
Well, every single time, like, is this a hard inquiry? Everybody asks that, and it's like, they're okay having 550 credit score, but they're worried about a hard inquiry. You're worried about the wrong shit, yo. Like, that's just the truth, right?
And don't let anybody just pull your credit, right? Because 10% is 10%.
Yeah.
But it's not like one pull is going to destroy your score.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So just be careful of the car dealerships, man.
Yeah. Right. They will blast you out there.
They got me on that one.
There's got to be a car sales guy listen to this, and he's just like,
oh, yeah.
You don't say 10%, that.
10%. Yeah. But when you send out 100 inquiries at once.
Right.
You
know? Right. Right. Exactly. And then the remainder percentage is going to be spread out on credit diversification. So basically the types of accounts. So
like
mortgage, credit cards, auto loans.
So if you just have one credit card on your report, it's not really that diversified, right?
Right. So an 18-year-old kid can have a 720, but all they have is a credit card with a $300 limit.
Yeah.
They're walking around pounding on their chest. They got a 720.
But the score doesn't mean but the score doesn't mean that much, because there's not a lot on there, right?
And then the last thing is just going to be the length,
the credit depth,
the length of your accounts, right? So the longer you have accounts, the better. So paying off things early, I mean, it's great to pay things off early, but if you have the cash to pay off your car, just leave it.
Yeah.
If you're trying to build your report,
if you're trying to build
your history,
I mean, if you
set it up on auto pay and let it just come out.
The cost of paying a little interest can be worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
If that's your goal.
If it's going to get you to a score where you pay a lot less.
Dude, interest rates on things are a lot better when you're in the 800s than they are even in the high sixes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get qualified for a lot of stuff. 680
without length of credit, right? So, and that's one thing that's actually been brought up a lot is, well, I have this credit card that I never use, so I just close it.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Don't.
Leave it open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not using it. You don't have an annual fee,
yeah,
hopefully.
Cut it up. And,
if, and, it, and if just because a card has an annual fee isn't a bad thing. There's, yeah, usually perks with those annual fees, right?
Yeah.
But leave credit card accounts open that isn't costing you any money because it's building your score.
Mm.
I have a line of credit attached to a checking account that I don't even use, yeah, basically, mm-hmm, but I've had it for 10 years. So I'm, yeah, not going to close that bank account because it reports every month,
yeah,
to my credit that it's, yeah, that it's open and that it's in good standing. So,
yeah, I mean, I have a credit card that I don't ever use. I think I have like two, mm-hmm, of them that, yeah, I don't ever use, but I keep them open and active because they report good payment history every month, even if I'm not really using it.
Yeah,
I don't want to lose that depth.
I do have one that's $50 like renewal every year,
yeah,
but because I totally forget about it,
yeah,
and then I don't make my stupid payment on it, and then they, right, hit me with a late fee. I'm like, well, how do I have all of a sudden $160 I own this, right, credit card, and they're sending me these nasty letters. I'm like, oh, shit.
I've heard, yeah, that a couple times too.
Yeah, so, you know, make sure, still make watch sure. it. You know, yeah, I ain't gonna close it. Yeah. But, you know, you might actually want to read your mail sometimes.
Right. Yeah, no, so.
I never read my mail anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
I gotta get somebody for that.
Yeah.
Paperless, and then you just whiz by it on your email. You're like, yeah, junk mail.
Well, you probably think it's a credit card offer. You, yeah, rip it up. It's, like, huh, it's, yeah, a bill.
That's exactly what happens. Yeah. Like, another capital
one. Yeah, exactly. Throw it away. Right. What do they want from me now?
Yeah.
You know, they want now to finance my house, my
Capital
car,
One's
and
brilliant,
my credit
dude.
Card.
They're probably in, like, right, everybody's mailbox, right?
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's a numbers game, dude. Yeah. Cast
Even
that
if you
net.
Have a Capital, yeah, One, they're still sending you promos, yeah, for other Capital One.
No shit, dude. I just saw one yesterday on my counter, but it was for my wife. I'm like, yeah, don't fill this shit out. We've got enough Cap Ones.
Yeah, we got enough.
You know? But no, those are all good nuggets. You know, listen, here's the deal. Like, if your credit's, like, in the shit, like, 450, 500, 550, you know, it's probably not because of some of the stuff that Coulter was just talking about, besides the late pay one, right? You have collections, judgments, bankruptcies, whatever it is. One other piece of information that you guys, and again, this is something that we do as well. This is our process is what we call the sweep and boost process, right? Mm-hmm. We try to basically get the negative items off of your report, and then we boost it by adding something positive onto your report, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's not just about, just as Coulter talked about, the credit depth does matter and how many accounts are on your report, that does matter. And so much so that I think I did this with Austin. You know, our videographer. I mean, I'm, yeah, sure you guys have heard us talk about Austin on the podcast a few times. He didn't really have credit. So what I did is I added him as an authorized user to one of my credit cards.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Because then that's putting a positive history. He's now grandfathered into 10, 15 years of good payment history that I've had now on that credit card.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now it boosts his score up. Have you pulled your credit or anything like that after we did that? It went way up?
Thumbs up.
What, do you know what the before and after
thumbs
was?
Thumbs up in the, all right, we got this face.
I could look it up.
Pretty significant, though. Yeah.
He's a private guy. Yeah. He doesn't like to share that stuff.
He did. Hey.
He's going to start getting all these people hitting him up. Hey, man.
Hey, tell me about
heard
it.
Heard you got good credit.
Yeah, exactly. Hey.
Can I sell you something
I'm gonna
on
let
credit?
I'm going to let Capital One know that you got good credit. You're going to get on their mailing list.
I did it with my kids, man.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You put them out on a card, mm-hmm, start building their credit.
That's actually one thing that I didn't know. I thought you had to be at least 18 years old
to even start building credit,
you can do it.
Dude, my first car loan was so hard to get, and nobody would take a chance on co-signing
for me.
Yeah. No bank would just give me even a high interest rate loan.
Right.
And I mean, that's what we do as parents. We learn from our own mistakes, and you know, my parents had horrible credit. They couldn't co-sign for me. And so, dude, I added my kid when he was 16 so that he could have something established when he does
start
enter
building
the world,
his own
right?
credit.
And I do teach awesome. Them how important credit is.
Yeah.
So this can go one of two ways. As you're listening, you're either the person with good credit or with bad credit.
Right.
You know, you might be the person right in the middle or whatever. But the reality is if you've got good credit and you have access to credit cards and the utilization, again, that's important because even if there's a good payment history on a credit card and it's a $5,000 limit, but you keep a high balance on it, you don't want to use that card as an authorized user, right?
Right.
Because it's just, again, the debt to credit ratio then becomes a problem. You're adding a positive, but also kind of a negative, sort of.
You're adding debt, right?
Yeah. So the utilization doesn't really match up. But if you're a listener and you have good credit and you have a family member that has bad credit, you can call your credit card company and ask to put somebody on as an authorized user. They're going to ask you some basic questions. You're going to want to make sure that individual is in the room. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to ask you if you want a card sent to that person. So this is going to be the big hang of, oh, I don't want to add, you know, my family member as an authorized user. What if they go spend money on my credit card?
Yep.
You can actually tell whether, let's just use Capital One, because I mean that's what we've been using as an example, and that's one I use.
We're not promoting Capital One, but we're talking
about them. Shit, right? We should get like, hey, rep share here, like some ads. We're on ads.
They do have good Capital One cards and stuff. So does Chase.
They do. Yeah. Oh, look at you mixing it up. He's trying to diversify.
So does Barclay. So does.
First Premier.
Yeah.
Links in description.
Yeah. Let me send you my affiliate link.
Yeah. Exactly. But. So they'll ask you if you want a card sent to that person that you're adding as an authorized user, and you just say no.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the big issue. That's what people are scared about, adding somebody as an authorized user, is because they're worried about them having access to that card and spending money, now getting you into debt, right? If you're the person with good credit. And then let's put the shoe on the other foot. If you're listening and you have bad credit, but you have a family member that has good credit, ask them to put you on as an authorized user on one of their cards. And just tell them, hey, you don't even have to have a card sent out or have it sent to your address and cut it up, right? I had a card sent to my address for Austin. I just cut it up and throw it away, right? And so he doesn't have access to the card, but it ultimately is now reporting on his credit, and he's getting value from my good payment history.
Right.
And that's really the idea. So we didn't want to just have a podcast about credit repair and say, work with us, work with us. We wanted to give you guys some hints and some tips and some things that you could ultimately do to boost your scores as well yourself. And huge part of that is through authorized users.
If you're one of the bad credit people, because I've had good credit and I've had bad credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three of us have been in that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've had bad credit and now have over 800. So we actually know.
This is the 800 club. I didn't even think about that.
We're all in 800s.
It does come with its perks. I mean, I'm not going to lie. But
would you have got approved with that American Express reward card that you're cashing in like a mother trucker on?
I'm going to run everything on that because the perks are so badass.
That's what I'm saying.
That's going to cover my
costs and everything.
When we do our summer vacations, I mean, they're like $15,000 summer vacations at least.
Yeah.
And this thing's going to cover most of that. You know what I mean? So for free. So that's actually saving me money. But my point was, if you're one of the bad credit people, man, like make a decision right now to be responsible. Don't let those people down that actually took a chance on you to add you on their credit card and then go and get yourself into all this damn trouble again. You know, like I've heard and I've done this myself where people complain about the credit system.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's such bullshit. You don't even know how it works. Yep. And, you know, like they make it impossible. And like, yeah, it does kind of suck, but I'm actually grateful for it.
Yeah.
Because it does make it harder for people that aren't taking responsibility to go and get things. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah,
you know, like when they gave me a loan when I was 21 years old for a $700,000 house just based on stated income, and then I went out and destroyed my freaking credit. That was when I had bad credit. Was after that.
Yeah,
you know. But then I had this victim mentality, like, oh, the credit card company,
where they shouldn't
credit bureaus are such bull crap,
or they shouldn't have borrowed me that much money, or this or that. You know, again, it all comes back to ownership.
So,
right?
You've got to make a decision right now to be responsible, because that downtime in my credit cost me so much money, man. Like, you know, I could have been out buying real estate when the market was low. I could, because I had the income still, you know. Yeah. So it screwed me, dude. You know,
well,
I screwed me.
yeah, exactly. Fuck, I was going to say something, but I completely just...
Oh, sorry.
No, for real.
Okay,
no. You're good. You're good.
It hit me again.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it is. But no, for real, if you have bad credit, you know, it does affect you, and I know it affects you, and it a looming thought in the back of your head. So I had two thoughts. One, it's tax return time.
Totally.
Okay? You should be utilizing your tax return to put yourself in a better situation. Too many people that have bad credit or in a bad situation utilize it as like, finally, I get to do this, and they go blow it on something stupid.
Invest it into yourself.
I don't give a shit if it's on credit or if it's on something else. But if you have bad credit, that's a good place to start. Okay. Secondly, let's talk about some shit, right? Let's talk about removing shit. So just recently, we had an individual that had $16,000 in back student loans or collections or something like that, right?
Student loans.
Okay. We ran them through this process, our sweep and boost process, the one just that's the a sweep. Full money back guarantee. Oh, we just did the sweep?
Just the sweep.
We just did the sweep.
We didn't even hit the boost.
Okay.
Still spooling up.
So, yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna hit the, that turbo.
It's gonna. So after we removed that, they went from not being able to get any sort of business funding, and how much did they just get approved for?
$210,000.
Damn.
No money down. No collateral.
Nothing.
Credit sense.
Unsecured. So this is an individual that wanted to start a business but couldn't because they had past issues.
Yeah.
$16,000. And we charged them $900 to remove that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like an expense? Or an investment that just paid 16 times return.
Right.
Now
it opens up doors.
It opens up doors like many of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the credit card door, the car door, the house door, the
Absolutely.
Lines of credit for to start your business door.
Yep.
You know, what investment property doors, right? Yeah. If you want to now start buying townhouses or apartments mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
The lowering your fees doors.
It's
interest is
Even if you're not trying to start a business or buy a house, you're still, again, auto insurance or the cards that you're getting, or when you do actually decide to do these things, having credit not be an issue. Again, you're not trying, if you do have bad credit, you're not trying to purchase that home in a year from now, typically. It's you found a house and now you're ready to pull the trigger and now the credit is the issue, right? So if it is a hurdle, you need to address it sooner rather than later.
Dude, I'm not going to lie.
It does become an issue.
It feels so good to know if I write an application out for something, I just know I'm going to get approved.
Being declined,
I don't got to worry about it.
So embarrassing.
I don't have to worry in the back of my mind.
So embarrassing, you know, like, to be declined for something.
Jeremy's sister straight up gave us a testimonial. And she's like, for 20 years, I didn't want to go into a car dealership and even put an application in because I already knew I was going to get declined.
Yeah.
So they would spend like $8,000 or $10,000, something that they could pay cash for or buy here or pay here. She's like, it actually felt good to be able to walk in and know that I was going to get approved and walk out with a new car, which was the first time she ever did. And we also took we're talking about our partner, Jeremy, here. And if you've listened to the podcast, he was on like episode 30 or 31.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says meet our partners on Easier Accounting.
Well, it was 33.
I'm just joking.
Fuck, strike three.
There we go.
I'm out of here. You take over, bro. But also, you know, his parents were in a similar situation. Yeah. They weren't able to buy a home for 20 years and thought that they would. Again, whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation. It's your right now situation, and it can remain a forever situation if you forever remain to act like it doesn't exist or take ownership of the situation.
Yeah.
Once you actually face it and commit to doing better, then at that point, that's when shit can start to change and get better, right? You're just ignoring a problem because you don't see it daily because it's this thing that kind of doesn't exist, but it does exist, right? It haunts us daily, whether you like to think it or not. And to be honest with you, it feels good to tell people I got an 813, you know, because when I had like a 580 when I was a drug addict and stuff, and I would run up credit cards, and then I couldn't make payments, and I went to collections and did the whole, you know, drug addict thing and defaulting on stuff. I had to take ownership of that and get myself out of that situation. And so even though if I'm not using it to buy shit, it still feels good to know that, one, I'm a man of my word, and at least I'm doing something honorable to try to fix something I broke.
Yep.
Right? Like, let's be real. If you have bad credit and you're listening, you broke your shit.
Yep.
That's on you.
It is.
Own your shit. But also own the fact that you can fix it if you face it head on.
Well, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Exactly.
Right? So
that's what it comes down to.
A lot of the posts I've seen when we're trying to, you know, kind of educate people.
Yeah.
Cash is king.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I get it. It's nice to have things paid for. I get it.
I have a lot of cash, and cash is great. But guess what? I would rather protect my cash and use credit to buy shit.
The wealthiest people in the world aren't using their own cash.
They're not.
I mean, a lot of the times they can be, but the majority of the time they're leveraging.
I would bet the majority of billionaires got to be a billionaire by leveraging other people's money.
Absolutely.
Whether it was through good credit in building a real estate portfolio and getting loans and then paying it off and this, that, the other.
You just gotta be smart about it, man. My pool guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I put this on my credit card? And we're talking about a $75,000 pool.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. People don't typically do that, but I can take your credit card. He's like, why do you want to do that? I'm like,
points.
75,000 points. Yeah, dude, exactly. Paid off next month. Cash. It's an instant return on my money. I paid zero interest, dude, and I got 75,000 points.
Dude, that brings up another good point.
Yeah.
So if you have good credit right now and you're an entrepreneur and you have a lot of bills through your business, you should be running it through as many bills as you can through a business card. So there was a period of time where we were running $40,000 to $50,000 a month in Google ads.
I remember
and what
that.
We did is we put our, again, shout out to Capital One. we put our Capital One Spark card on file, right?
Yeah.
And they were billing it. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And so we were paying 0% interest because we were paying it off every single month before any interest hit, but there was a 3% cash back.
Yeah.
And we were getting like a $9,000 check, you know, or whatever. We've taken vacations and we've never paid interest. So it's like
we still have our travel points. Jeremy's used all his.
I used the majority.
I don't know how, because I don't have access to that login.
I just went to him. I'm like, dude, book this shit. When I went to Scottsdale, right?
Dude, it's nice, bro. It's like cover your flights.
It is nice. That's my point. Like, you guys, if you have good credit, you could take advantage of it. Yeah, exactly.
You're not paying hardly any interest, if any.
Good credit can actually pay you.
Yes.
Because he's going to pay that guy $75,000 anyways for a pool. He can stroke the check or put it on a card. He puts it on a card and has the check get paid to the credit card or whatever. Now he's walking away with a ton of points, getting free hotels or, you know, airplane tickets or whatever it is. Him having good credit is now rewarding him and giving him free shit.
Yeah, I like when people throw money at me instead of collectors chasing me, right?
Yeah.
You know?
But that's my point. If you guys have good credit, you should be leveraging that and utilizing some sort of reward points, whether it is a Capital One Spark card, yours is an American Express, what is it? Business Platinum card. Mm-hmm. So those are just maybe a couple ideas. The Capital One Spark card gives you options of the 3% cash back or the 3% in travel points,
dude,
right?
The Amex Platinum one, if I book on there, it's five times points. So you know how much we travel, right? A lot of times I just book right through their website because even if I pay 20, 30 bucks a night more for the room, it's like, dude, I'm getting five times the points.
Right.
You know, so shit adds up quick, man.
Again, bad credit costs you money. Good credit pays you money if you use it right.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an immediate need, that's fine. You still should ultimately address it if you have bad credit. Okay. So here's the deal. You guys can reach out to us. It's 60-day credit repair. You know, go to the interweb or go to Facebook or, you know, whatever you want to do.
It's spelled out S-I-X-T-Y, right? We actually do have 60-day credit repair 6-0, but we haven't built that site yet.
Well, he didn't. Yeah, Coulter doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
So we
bought, negotiate with GoDaddy on that one?
Yeah. Brought it down a little bit, right? Yeah, like 700 or something like that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it was $2,500 originally, and we got it for $1,500 or something.
Yeah, but they had to go ask. I didn't buy it from a private, whoever owned it. So I don't know what their point was. I threw an offer out, and then they countered or whatever.
Oh, gotcha. So. Okay. But we own both. But the 60-day credit repair is S-I-X-T-Y, daycreditrepair.com.
Mm-hmm.
Find us on Facebook, 60-day credit repair. On Instagram, it's under Coulter. Egan _ credit repair. Because guys, here's the deal. The reason why
you gotta spell Egan out.
Oh, I will.
Because that could go a couple different ways.
Yeah, let's do that. Coulter. So that's Coulter. And then Egan. Eagan.
Got it.
Got it. Yeah. After 11 years, I shouldn't have to look up to say, did I get it? I've ran so many payrolls with his name. But Coulter. Egan _ credit repair. And the reason why we did this, guys, and I want to explain this because I've done this. We've explained the whole social media game and, you know, all that. So we had it under just 60-day credit repair. The problem with that, guys, is, again, people don't gravitate to a business more so than they would a person, right? So I wanted Coulter's name, since he's operating the company, him to be the name and the face of the business. And so the reason why it's Coulter Egan _ credit repair, and you go there, it flat out says right underneath the profile, 60-day credit repair, all that stuff or whatever. But again, I want somebody, rather than see a logo, see Coulter's face, yeah. right? Make that connection with who's behind 60-Day Credit Repair and make it a little bit more real because, again, we can all vibe with an individual far more than we can with a brand or brand. A logo.
Personal brands are right? just more powerful. Yeah. We know that. So, you know?
And that's why we did that. You know, and again, that's just another learning opportunity for you guys.
You want to connect with badasses like Mr. Egan.
I'll thank you for that. Yeah. You know, he's my prodigy, so yeah. I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah.
Trevor built him. Yeah. Coulter had nothing to do with it.
He's,
I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
What? Heard what?
That you're that he's your prodigy, dude.
Yeah.
Not from me, though.
Mini Trev.
Who? Not from me, though. Dad. I don't say
just
that.
Just everybody.
Yeah, I don't say that.
Dude, I want to say though, I'm a personal testimonial of this process.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, and that's why I love this product and the way we switched our company towards this product. Yeah. You guys know I had that. I lost that home.
Yep.
You know, I just talked about it not too long ago.
Yeah, the short
in the
sell.
Whole yep. real estate crash, whatever. I short sold that home, and I paid an attorney $4,000 to try and get off my credit. Yep. Nothing happened. I think he got like some of the late pays off, but didn't get it fully removed like he said he would.
Yeah.
And dude. Just running through this sweep a couple
times. That's
again
where we came in. We're sick of it. We're sick of
traditional. Yeah.
We're literally sick of it. And that's where we just decided, okay, we have this process.
Let's be the change.
Why don't we actually be the change and provide a service? And if we don't, if for whatever reason we don't see success, you're not paying for it. You're out absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Tell me what credit repair company actually
does. Dude, I would have had to wait three more years for this thing to fall off my credit before I could build my home again. You know what I mean?
It's like,
even though I had good finances, I had good history, all this stuff. That one thing was hindering
me,
man.
More than they think.
Well, like fixing your credit is a life-altering decision, not only on the stress levels that you deal with, the phone calls that you get in terms of, you know, collectors or whatever it is, right? There's a whole bunch of shit that you guys deal with when you have bad credit. Why?
Yeah.
Why do I say that? Because I know. Because I've dealt with it. I've ignored the phone calls. I've had the letters in the mail.
Lost my first house.
You know.
A judgment popped on my thing 3 days before close, the day they pulled my credit, when they do the check right before, and it popped up. We still pushed it through.
Yeah.
And got the house, which, but again, it's... Bad credit's going to stress you out more than you think, and we try to avoid it. And again, it's better to have it and not need
it. And so it's not uncommon if you have like collections of $10,000, $20,000, you know, we've removed $13,000 in medical bills and they pay us $900.
Yeah.
And it's off the report, right? And so...
So we've all been there. We've been idiots, but dude, you got to learn from it. You got to take accountability. You got to take action and actually taking care of it now, and it will benefit you in the long
ignoring
run.
Ignoring it isn't going to make it go away.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly.
Shit.
We've all tried. Dumbass.
We've all tried that. We've all tried but you guys can also send a DM to Real Business Owners as well if you guys want to connect with Coulter, or if you can't find the Coulter Egan _ Credit Repair. So he's answering the direct messages there, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's on Instagram. But if you can't find it and you want to connect through us, that's fine as well.
Yeah.
You know, you just give us your name, phone number, and email, and I'll toss it over to Coulter. Coulter's already spoke with a few listeners. Respect. Mary Boo, what's good?
We're waiting for her updates to roll in. I just actually hung up with her yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was another one. Ange was going to go through it. She hasn't gone through it yet. But, guys, the reality is we do want to help. So if you're finally ready to make a change and get that monkey off your back, reach out to us.
Yep.
Like, if your scores can't jump up over 50 points minimum within the next 90 days or less, then we'll refund the full $900.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And we do have payment options as well. So if you want to reach out to us and see what those potential payment options are, maybe you don't have a full $900 right now to be able to go through the process. And originally we were charging $1,500 for this process.
Yep.
So that brings me to a second point is we'll have to hook up Meredith, you know, and on her next payment, just do 400 instead of 500, because we were actually giving her a $500 discount, but we've actually dropped the prices since. And just so that you guys understand, this is a starting price point for a brand new company, and we will be selling this for $1,500, $2,000,
or
whatever it is.
Well, dude, I paid that attorney $4,000.
I know.
So I know what people are paying out there.
The only reason why I'm saying that and putting it in stone right now is because if somebody listens to this in 2 or 3 years and they reach out to us and it's $1,500 or $2,000, they're like, wait a minute, you know, you said $900. I'm telling you, if you guys are ready to fix your credit, reach out. We can help. Okay.
You'll get the value.
That's, I guarantee it. Thing. That's really what it comes down to. And you guys know we always bring value to the table. So Coulter's done an amazing job with, you know, kind of stepping into an ownership role, leadership role, management role, and, you know, putting this company together. And he can be the individual that communicates with you directly as well, if you do reach out. But we do have a sales team and stuff as well.
I'll get on the phone with anybody.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy actually teaching people and educating people about credit and helping them. It can literally change lives. We've watched people, employees,
crying
in the break room. The testimonials, if you guys are seeing any of them on social media, they're not bullshit. Yeah. They're not paid.
No.
These are people that we've actually helped and actually made changes. So I think that's the biggest thing, because being in the industry that we're in, we're like, okay, we know it's that tainted. All these testimonials are
bogus. Just
bullshit.
Yeah.
And paid our testimonials are real.
We do
get real results, and helping people change their lives for the better is awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a fun process to see a before and after, and people just kind of be in disbelief, like, holy, and they don't understand how good it feels because they haven't felt it for so long,
right?
Whether or they just never had good credit. But make sure you get your credit game right. You know, it's important. If you haven't got the point of that during this podcast, just re-listen to it, and then hopefully it sinks in. If not, then we can't help you. So it's review time. It's the end of the podcast. So this the subject line says, and again, this is off iTunes. It says, great stuff, 5-star Joe Peebs. This was just the other day. My name is Joe. I'm the owner and operator of a completely mobile aircraft maintenance company. I found you guys while searching for a podcast to help me level up mentally. I'm so glad I found you guys. I especially enjoyed the intent episode, which I found I was lacking in, and I couldn't even see it. Thank you for bringing value. If you're out there needing a mentor, this is like free business mentorship via podcast. Although I actually love to be in the same room with these guys and have a real heart-to-heart conversation with these guys. Keep it up, Trevor and Kel. Cool. Good shit, man.
Bring it on. I love heart-to-hearts.
Yeah.
You live for heart-to-hearts, man.
I'm getting better with them. You know, I like talking to people too, you know, or in microphones, I guess, you know. I just like talking. But, guys, as usual, we appreciate you. Kel, do you got anything to add right before we say peace out?
No, man, it's good.
It's a good episode.
To have Coulter come on with us, man. Yeah. Like I said, I love this product. I am a testimonial of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been a dumbass.
If you need us.
Being a dumbass.
If you need us, reach out.
Everybody needs a second chance.
Yeah.
But after we give you the second chance.
Don't fuck it up.
Don't go screw it up
you.
Again.
Most problems, most issues with credit is mindset.
Yes.
You know, that's why I think it's important for you to continue to level up mentally, because it's a poor mindset that got you into a poor financial situation or a poor credit situation, right? The reason why you got into a poor financial situation ultimately turned into a poor credit situation because you couldn't pay your bills.
Yeah.
But that all stems from the way that you think and what you believe. And so this is just step one of leveling up, right? Get your credit game fixed and continue to work on yourself and try to level up yourself mentally so you don't ever get put in a situation like this.
I actually do know how it feels, man. Like when you're kind of like, oh, all the bills, all the things are
overwhelmed,
crumbling.
Yeah.
Whenever you're overwhelmed and you're just kind of like, what's the point? You kind of get that point. Like, what's the point? Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
My credit shit anyway.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like the longer you keep living like that, the longer it's going to take to actually get back on the other side of this.
Yeah.
So it's going to come full circle. You will need it.
Yeah. Guys, we're called 60-Day Credit Repair for a reason. We want you to have good credit, and we want you to have it soon, right? We don't want to drag a process
in and out.
On.
We want results.
Yeah,
and we want to stand by it.
So, guys, if you got value out of this episode, make sure you share it with somebody with sappy-ass credit so that you know, they can get some nuggets out of it, and they could potentially reach out to us when we can do business and connect that way as well. Make sure that you leave us a review so that you could potentially be the next individual or the next review that we ultimately read at the end of the podcast. So do all those things that everybody else tells you to do. Like, subscribe, share. What else? What am I missing? Nothing? I think I've got it. So other than that, have a kick-ass day. Thanks, guys.